Well, we need your prayers this afternoon. Lord, bless his word. I'm thankful he lives. We face a dark world. We face dark times. It's not real hard to get discouraged. You don't have to do a whole lot to get discouraged. The devil will see to that. And he's got plenty of material to use to do that. Make sure that we get discouraged and wants to get us depressed and all out of sorts. You know the song said he lives? And because he lives, I have hope. I have reason for living. I've got purpose. I've got reason to wake up another day because he lives. And whenever another song we sing sometimes around Easter time, he lives. You ask me how I know he lives? Because he lives. Yes, he lives in me. The evidence is right here. The evidence is planted within our hearts and our lives. That he gives me that hope. He gives me that purpose. He gives me comfort whenever I'm down. Don't tell me he's not alive. Because I talked to him this morning. He talked to me. We're communing together. And because of that, it gives us what we need to be able to go through this life. I'm thankful for the Lord. I love him and been talking to me this week. And I pray that it'll be an encouragement and a challenge to you as it has been to me. I'd like to begin in the book of Proverbs, 22nd chapter. Scripture that we're probably familiar with this afternoon. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." It's something that people in this world set their sights on. They make their life's occupation and goal to be able to make their first million, to be able to have it easy, to be able to hit the lottery or the jackpot and have all that I could want. And they spend their life wishing for it and dreaming of it and trying to attain it and finding all the while it doesn't satisfy. But the scripture says here there's something more valuable than that. There's something whose price and value goes beyond the riches of this world because it's something that money cannot buy. And that is the value of a name. Want to consider, that's my little burden this afternoon. What's in a name? What is the value of a name? It says here that it's very valuable, that it's something that if you put a price tag on it, money would not be able to buy it. Money would not be able to attain. For me, a good name. Companies realize the value and the importance of a good name. Realize the importance that if we're going to make money and be able to spread our product or our service and cause our business to grow, we have to be able to have a good name. It doesn't take very much to tear down your business, but just a couple bad experiences, bad reputation, somebody has a bad experience and they go tell their friend and they go tell somebody else and before you know it, everyone's heard. You heard about Clint's such and such business. Don't go there. Don't do that. They realize the importance of being able to have a good name. I could probably list for you a number of companies today that you'd recognize as having a good name. You'd recognize as their products being known for having a high degree of quality. And in doing so, I would probably just indicate to you that I know the things that maybe a guy would be familiar with, the tool brands and things like that, that Snap-on and DeWalt and you name the brands, that they have a reputation that goes with it. They have a reputation and I like quality. If I have a product, I'd like to be able to know that it has good quality, that it has a good reputation, and any more you have, more and more of our purchases are made online now. And you have many times product reviews. You can go and look and see what someone's review is, and you can look at the ratings. If 1,000 people have bought this, how many stars did they give it, or what was their evaluation of it. So it's not just going blind to purchase something, but there's a reputation that goes with it. It's known for being a high degree of quality. I'm not always able to afford the highest degree of quality. But I like to be able to know the thing, the item that I've purchased, it's going to last. It's not going to fall apart. It's not going to be something that looks pretty on the outside, and I take it home and it breaks whenever I put it under a load. You know, the Lord has something for us that's valuable. He has something for us that is designed to stand the test of life. That's designed to be able to do more than look pretty, be able to do more than look good. But whenever I'm put to the test, I stand up under it. I'm able to endure through that thing. So these companies, a couple of which I've named to you, and you could no doubt name many others, they're known of those that purchase items from them as having a good quality. That if I buy a product that has this name on it, I'm not worried about it. I'm pretty sure that it's going to have a good degree of quality to it. You know, there's a price tag that comes with that. There's a value that comes with that. And companies, they realize that. They understand that. And so if they can gain a reputation of being a high quality or producing high quality, they're able to demand more money from their products. They're able to put a higher price tag on it because people have tried their products. They know it's quality. They know it's going to last. So I'm willing to pay a little bit more for it. Sometimes maybe you've seen, won't name a product, but you see something that has maybe everybody's been talking about. Oh, you've got to buy one of these. You got to try. This is the best of this particular item that I've ever owned before. And people go and they try to buy it and look for it, and there's a reputation that goes with it. But there are many times, if it's something that has a high popularity or a high degree of reputation to it, it's going to cost quite a bit more. There will be imitation products that are made, and it'll say maybe it has some of the same characteristics, but it doesn't have the reputation. It doesn't have yet the name brand that goes with it. So, you know, sometimes you pay for a name and you hope that it's more than just a name, but it's the quality that goes with that that you're paying for. You can buy products awfully cheap. You can buy something that'll have the same title or the same name of that object. Maybe it's the same color. But if underneath, or if what it's made of, is not the same thing, it's not going to last. I would to God that He help us today, that we have something that's valuable. The world, they have a cheap profession many times. Many times religious people have an empty or a shallow profession of Christianity. They're bearing a name on them. They have the name, I am a Christian, I am of God, but the quality that you see in their lives, it doesn't testify to that. The Lord has something for us today, that whenever He puts His name upon us, the world can see it and say, yes, I know. I can see there's quality to that. I can see there's something there that keeps them in the hard places of life. A good name. How important is it to us? You know those reputations of even the companies that I've named to? You know they didn't have that reputation the day they started their business. They didn't start out with that reputation, but Brother Rick owns a business. How do you gain that? It's earned. A reputation is not something that you can go buy with money. It's not something that you can demand of people. I demand that you have to think highly of it. You can't demand it. You can't buy it. You can't expect to have it overnight. But you can earn it. You can do things and you can invest in things. You can make the right decisions. And over the course of time, you can build a reputation. It's why companies put a lot of value in being able to put on their sign, open since 1972, or since whatever year, been in business for a long time now. Been able to stay open and been able to satisfy customers and so forth. It takes time. It's not free. A good name is earned. Sometimes it takes years to earn a reputation, and it takes moments to lose it. You've heard perhaps in the news in the last year or so of automobile company that was caught in the midst of emissions scandal. They were found to be cheating and putting cheater devices in their cars, that their diesels, that would cause it to override the emissions testing whenever it came to the United States because it didn't meet the emissions testing. Then they were found for that whenever they discovered that it was behaving differently, and you probably know the story behind it, but they were caught in that, and they had been known to be a very high quality car. They had been known to produce good quality. Their reputation was high. Companies have a value, an actual dollar amount, large companies, that are appraised for the value of their name. The company that I work for, they estimate the value of the brand itself to be so many billions of dollars. Just the name. Being able to put the name on something and the value of that, if someone were to come in and buy that, how much would that be worth to them? There's value in a good name. This company, almost overnight, whenever the scandal broke and the world found out about it, we haven't quite been what we've said we are. We haven't quite been above board, and it caused the value of that company almost overnight to plummet. You know, we're given a name. Every one of us today has a name. Every one of us has a reputation. For one, the Lord God knows our name. The Lord knows our name and who we are and everything about us. You know, He's not the only one that knows things about us. Our families know about us, our co-workers, our neighbors. You know, whether we like it or not, whether we think it's fair or not, we have a reputation. We're going to have a name. We're going to have something that whenever people think of Clint Doolittle, there's going to be something associated with that name. I want to be very careful. I want to realize the value of having a good name. I don't want to sell it carefully. I want to be very careful that I don't throw away that which would take years and years and years to be able to rebuild. You know, it can seem like something that, as I mentioned, it's unfair. And sometimes I've known of those that have gotten into difficult places in their lives. They haven't been what they should be. There's been something come up with family, and they were clearly in the wrong, and they knew it, and they had betrayed the trust of their family and so forth. And they come and they want to have prayer, and they come back a few days later maybe and say, I don't know why my family won't accept what I'm saying. I don't know why they won't just embrace me. Now, I've said I'm sorry. I've said I've made the right decision here. You know, the Lord, well, He's called us to be a repairer of a breach. But the Lord knows how to rebuild our name. Whenever our name has been destroyed. Whenever the trust, because it's about trust, it's about the value or the trust that people can put in my name. It's something that's built over time and can be destroyed. You know, whenever that's destroyed, as unfair as I might think it is, as much as I want to be people to realize, maybe I've gone to an altar of prayer, I've said I'm sorry, I must realize and not hold bitterness of somebody else because they expect to see over time. They want to be able to have their trust rebuilt over time. And it's not fair for me to expect anything else from other people. I'm going to have to realize a name, a reputation is something that must be earned and built. And it can be. With the Lord's help, I want to consider a man who had to have his name changed. Maybe you know the story that we're turning to, Genesis chapter 32. This is a name that goes beyond just our title, or what I say to you to get your attention and get you to turn to me. My name is Clint. It's beyond that. There's a man here whose name was Jacob, and it so happened, not just by happenstance, but that his name was called Jacob, which meant a supplanter or a deceiver. And wouldn't you know, as Jacob came along and came of years, you began to see those very characteristics born out in Jacob. You began to see the way that he's acting, and you could go into the family lineage and you can look at those things. But you look at the way that Jacob began to conduct himself, and we're familiar with how he cheated his brother out of the birthright and deceived his father for it and ran for his life. And now we pick up in the story of his life where he's been running for his life and he's gone into another land to live with his uncle, and he's lived there. He's married. Now the course of many years has gone by, and now he's to the place that he has to meet the very brother that he cheated. You know, a reputation will stick with you. It's what people will remember you by, and I believe Jacob realized that. He came to a place that he was afraid. Let's read here in Genesis 32, beginning in verse 24. The night before that he was going to meet his brother, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." You know, I think that question, if we really look at it, was more than just, "Oh, I don't know who you are." It was an angel from God. Of course he knew who he was. Of course he knew his name was Jacob. "But if you want me to bless you, you're going to have to come to terms with who you are. You're going to have to come to terms with the way that you are, with the way that you're known of God. By your deeds, by your actions, by the name that you've earned for yourself, by the life that you've lived. Jacob, the way that other people know you. What are you known for, Jacob? What is your reputation, Jacob?" And he came to a place here as he's feeling desperate. "Lord, I need you to bless me. I need help in my life." You know, that's a good place for us to come to. The Lord wants us to come to a place that I say, "Lord, I need help. I need you to bless me. Lord, I need this. I need that. I have these needs in my life, and I have this need in my soul. Lord, I want you to bless me." It's easy for us to ask for blessings, but he wants us to come to the one who's able to change names. "Jacob, who are you?" And as Jacob came face to face now with who, "Yes, this is who I am. I'm Jacob." He said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." You know what Israel means? A prince of God. What a change of name. You know, it's what the Lord does. The Lord's able to take a name that we, that is besmirched by wrong and by bad decisions and bad choices and reputation that I have in my life, the Lord is able to correct that. The Lord is able to take what seems impossible. Oh, sin has resulted in so many broken lives and shattered dreams and sorrow and heartaches. You know, there's still one that's able to heal and mend and bind and put together and correct that that's wrong. He changed Jacob's name, and he's able to change ours as well. There can be given to us a new name written. Thank the Lord that he's able to change our name. I'd like to look now at a verse in the book of Malachi. We can think of a name as one that we earn for ourselves as we do. There's a name that we inherit from our Father. When we take on his name, and you know, that can carry with it a reputation. Doolittles have maybe a reputation for one thing or another that Folks will associate in their minds what a Doolittle is, or maybe I've had experiences with the Doolittles, and here comes another Doolittle, and so I associate, there's a name associated with you that goes with that, and you know, that may or may not be fair. There may have been nothing that I have done to earn that. Maybe it's just something that, look, it's the family that I'm in. It's the name that I carry. But you know, it's not for us to be bitter by the way that people look at us. But it's for me to say, you know what? By the grace of God, I'm going to have a good name. By the grace of God, I'm going to earn a good name, and I'm going to keep a good name. We have been given a name. Let's look at Malachi chapter 1. Verse 6 says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. You can read in Proverbs, and the scripture is not just coming to my mind exactly how it's written, but about how a foolish son is the shame of his mother, and how it's a shame and a disgrace unto his father. It's the sorrow of a father's heart or a mother's heart to see a child go off the wrong way, to see him deviate from the ways of truth or the way that they've been taught. A son is to honor his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? And he went to elaborate to them the way that they had done so. I'd like to pick up with that before we comment on it. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3 and verse 14 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You know, we're named after our Father. We're named after our Heavenly Father. As we have a Father upon earth and we are to honor Him, we are to guard the name that He's given us, we have a responsibility today to guard the name that God has put upon us as the children of God. What is the name upon the building in which we're meeting? It is the Church of God. You know, there's a reason why we use that name. It's not because we look through the phone book and we got to find a name that nobody else has used before. But the Bible says, the Church of God, under the Church of God that is at Corinth, under the Church of God, because we are named of whom we are begotten. We are named of the Father because we're begotten of the Father. We belong to Him. He is our Father. We're born of Him, and just like in a natural family, I inherited the name of my Father, so I am to inherit the name of my Heavenly Father. You realize the awesome responsibility that that is to us? You realize the awesome and fearful responsibility it puts on us? I'm going and putting a face before this world that bears the name of God. And as he said here in Malachi, where is my honor? Where's the honor? And we see the disgrace that this world has put on the name of Christianity, to the point that they have so cheapened the name of Christianity that it's meaningless to many people now. You can say you're a Christian. I don't care. What does that mean? Because they've witnessed over and over and over people that have called themselves a Christian. Folks, we'll come closer to home. There are people that have called themselves Church of God, and they haven't conducted themselves in a way that it's according to the Word of God, and have done despite under the name of grace. They've done despite under the cause and under the name and unto the value of the name of God. We bear His name. So Lord, help us to honor that name by our actions, by our deeds, by the name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. All His name is above reproach, folks. But we are what the world sees. Remember, we heard this morning as Philip said, show us the Father. And Jesus reproved him a little bit. You've seen me. You've seen the Father. You know, as the world looks upon us, they're supposed to be able to see the Father. They're supposed to be able to look on us and realize and see the characteristics and the traits of what our Father is. But we can, in the eyes and the estimation of the world around us, our families, our co-workers, we can devalue that name. We can cause that name to be of little value. I'd like to read to you a little poem. This was given to my dad by his parents. Speaking of a name, you got it from your Father. It was all he had to give. So it's yours to use and cherish for as long as you may live. If you lose the watch he gave you, it can always be replaced. But a black mark on your name, son, can never be erased. It was clean the day you took it, and a worthy name to bear. When he got it from his Father, there was no dishonor there. So make sure you guard it wisely. After all is said and done, you'll be glad your name is spotless when you give it to your son. May the Lord help us that we guard our name, that we guard what earns our name, that we would live in such a way that it could bring honor and glory unto God. Psalms 34:3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Let's magnify the Lord. Let's cause his name to be exalted by our actions, that we wouldn't blaspheme. Remember where I believe it was Paul was talking about the way that a servant or a wife unto her husband can blaspheme the cause of Christ because of their actions, because of the way they're conducting themselves. May the Lord help us so we would, when people look on us, that we would be a blessing and a benefit to the cause of Christ. That in people's eyes, when they watch our lives, they may say, you know, I don't understand it all. I've seen a lot of hypocrites, but that's not one of them. But I can say that person is what they say they are. They're true. There's quality there. There's something there that's of value. May the Lord help us to have, if we don't have it, to earn it. If we've earned a different name, to come to the one that's able to change it, that he can give us a new name that we can guard and keep. Remember the children of Israel when they went into the Canaan land? Read in Numbers 6:27. We'll try to finish here quickly. But Numbers 6. As the children of Israel were going in to take the promised land, the Lord had promised that he'd go with them. The blessing here that the Lord spake unto Moses in verse 23 said, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying on this wise, ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. They shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The Lord had promised to go with them, to go before them, that you're able to go forth and bear my name. As the children of Israel, as the people of God, you're going into the midst of a heathen and a pagan land all around you. And they're looking at you, and you are the representative of Almighty God that made heaven and earth in their eyes. You're the one they're looking on, and don't think today the world's not looking on us. Not looking on us whenever people revile us to see how we're going to respond, to see whether they acknowledge it or not. Do they really have something? Is there really something there beyond just a cheap plastic shell that kind of resembles what I've heard it's supposed to be? Or is there still the real product available? They were to be the representatives of God. They were to go forth into that land with his name upon them. And you know, he said in another place in Deuteronomy, the 2nd chapter, that he would put the dread of thee on all the nations around you. That's a reputation. Remember why it was that the Gibeonites came to the children of Israel? Because the reputation of the Israelites had gone before them. That they were a people whose God was a mighty God. They were a people who were going through conquering and to conquer. And they came because that reputation had gone before them. Folks, this is not about a name for ourselves. It's not about gaining some honor unto myself. But that's your people, men may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because He is my Father. The name that I bear is not my own. I'm bearing my Father's name. The graces within are not mine, but they belong to God. He's the one that's given it to it. The children of Israel, it wasn't the dread of them. He said, I haven't called you because you're greater in number. Because you're the least of all people. But I've called you and set my name upon you. And the dread that went forth before them was the name of the Lord. It was the Lord going with them and going before them and working in their lives and working in their problems. And He'll do the same for us today. The Lord will go with us if we'll allow and wait on Him and trust Him. The Lord will work in our lives as well, that the world might be able to look on and see that there is still a God in heaven. I want to look at the consecration of the temple. Whenever Solomon built and dedicated the temple unto the Lord, 1 Kings chapter 9, they had built it and they came time to the consecration of the temple unto the Lord, and I'd like to look at the Lord's response. Came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Oh, what a blessing. That was all that they needed. They didn't need anything else. They didn't need the horses and the chariots and all the things of the nations around them. They needed the Lord to be in the midst of them, to fight their battles for them, for His presence to be the glory in the midst of them, just like we do today among us. As God's people in the church of God, we still need His glory and His power to be working among every one of us that are His people, that I can bear His name going forth, that He can put the dread of me upon all the devils that are in the world, upon every false spirit, upon all the powers of darkness, that He can put a dread of me. How is that going to be? It's not going to be because of little me. It's not going to be because of my strength or power. But by the grace and the power of God working within our lives, that the devils will have to stand back and tremble. That the enemy, whenever he comes in to try to work in my life, will have a dread and a fear because of Almighty God that is working in my life. Folks, it's about more than a one time I came to get saved when I was a child or I did this. But it is a day-to-day walk and experience with the Lord that we are to maintain and we are to walk with Him. So I'd like to tie that in now to our time. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. That was the temple that Solomon had provided for the Lord to come, the great God of heaven, to come and His presence to be there, His name to be there, His ear to be open in that place unto their cry. We have no temple now that we go to. But 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are God's. We are today the temple of God. We are to be that temple just as Solomon came and consecrated and dedicated himself to the Lord. That I come now and I present my body and my life. I don't belong to the devil anymore. I don't I'm not part of the system of this world anymore. I'm not enslaved anymore to the chains of sin. But Lord, I'm yours. This temple, this body, this mind, this heart. It's yours now. It's your temple for you to come and live in and dwell in. And so we are to present, as we read in Malachi, where is the honor that you give to me? As I am your Father, guard the name. Guard the name that I'm going to put upon you. What does it mean for us? Oh, we could go on and on of what that scripture means. Whatsoever ye do, therefore, whether ye eat or ye drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, this is the law now that's written within our hearts. That's not written on tables of stone anymore, but it is a living law, a living word that's written down in our hearts with desire and love to say, Lord, I want to be a temple that glorifies you. So is this thing that I'm about to do glorifying to you? If not, I don't have to have a preacher or somebody tell me don't do it. That's enough for me. I want to glorify the Lord. I want to honor the name of the Lord by my actions. I want to guard a good name. As the poem we read, the name that your father gave you, it was blameless when he gave it to you. So don't let it get muddy. Don't drag it through the dirt. Don't let the world hold high the royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Folks, we've been given a great and a high and a lifted up and a holy name that we are called by and called unto. And he's put his name upon us. Lord, help us to go forth with a carefulness to guard that in the midst of a world that has sold it so cheaply, in the midst of a religious world that has accepted so many cheaply made substitutions for the real thing. Lord, help us to go forth and live before the world. There is still a God in heaven. Remember the counsel given unto the deacons, the elders, that they are to be those that are of good report, of those that are without, to be of good reputation. A good name is valuable and it's important unto the church of God, important unto every one of us, that I have a good name and a good reputation. Remember what Paul said of the Cretans? Don't remember just how he said it, but you can look it up. He said, I've heard that ye are slow bellies. You got a reputation. And he said, I found it to be true. I found your deeds to match the reputation that you have. You know, the Lord is searching our deeds. The Lord knows our name. The Lord, we're known for something. The Lord knows what our name is. The Lord knows what our deeds are. And he's able to cause us to have a name of honor. A name that I don't have to hang my head in shame. But that I can be an example of the Father, an example of the believers to those that are around us. And so is said in Titus unto the young men, and I'll close with this exhortation for all of us. We live in a skeptical world. We live in a fault-finding and a critical world. They'll be looking on every one of our lives that call ourselves Christian. You can see it all around. They're looking for opportunity to say, see, I knew you weren't living like you said. Here's this in your life. The exhortation in Titus 2 said, shewing forth a pattern of good works. You know, a pattern of good works is not just, I'm going to go do a good deed. It's not just people are looking, so I'm going to really put on a pompous air here. But a pattern of good deeds means a consistency that's laid down day after day after day. Week after week, month after month, year after year, I prove myself. I earn that reputation. I gain that name as being sound in the faith, sound in doctrine, unshakable. It's the exhortation that was given. Look you out, seven men of good report, of good reputation. It says after that of a pattern of good works, having sound speech, which cannot be condemned, that he which is of a contrary part, he which is looking to find fault, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to speak of you. Looking for the, they were looking in Daniel, weren't they? Looking for the chance in Daniel, and all they could find was the fact that he prayed unto his God. Lord, help me that I would be able by His grace to guard the precious name that He's given unto us. Realize the value and the worth that it has. You pray for me. Amen.